then yeah. do Target story.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Welcome back to No Thank You Next. I'm Megan, and I tell true crime stories that have them while dating.
And I'm Rachel, and I talk about true crime stories that have them while married. Okay, we need to hear your
Target story. Okay, I got this. Okay. Okay, so Target, guys. So since I'm going on this trip to Hawaii, I've been looking for dresses, and also I have a wedding in July that I'm going to, and I have a dress. Remember that dress I showed you that's like dreamsicle color?
Yeah.
But from a distance, it looks white. So I'm like, I just can't do it, guys. I just can't. So yeah, I've been on the, play it safe. Exactly. So I've been on the hunt kind of for dresses in general. And so I went to Target. I go to Target every week, let's be real. But I went to Target to return shit. Like, oh, I got a coupon. This is how cheap I am, guys. I got a coupon for $15 off of $50. And then I rebought everything I had bought that week and then returned it at the higher price. So I saved $15.
That's smart.
Well, because I didn't think I was going to go shopping at all that week anymore. So I was like, I'll just rebuy the same shit I already bought. So basically I got mascara for free and a pair of sandals. So that feels like a win.
Nice.
So I go to Target on Thursday and I find this green jumpsuit. The fitting rooms are open again at Target. It is a blessing because before, when you're shopping, you have to fucking buy it, take it home, try it on. Then you realize you don't want it. You take it back. It's such a process. Why not just decide at the store if I want to buy it? So anyways, I try this green jumpsuit on, but I tell myself I don't need it. Then I go back on Friday because I did need it and it was gone.
Oh,
I know.
The worst.
I know. But I bought a rug for our bathroom because, you know, our bathroom rug was disgusting. But I spent $30 on this rug. So Saturday, I decide I'm going to return this rug. So I just didn't need it. I do a lot of buying because it's free money when you return, guys. It's just free money coming back at you. So I happen to be at my storage unit in Sherman Oaks. And there's a Target right there. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to this Target. And they have a really good clearance section. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to check it out. Guys, Target, maybe all of you know, but Target did a collaboration with these three high-end designers. I'm sure, I don't know if you guys have seen it on TikTok. Have you seen it on TikTok?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I see like a bunch of people doing these try-ons. But there was this one dress that I wanted so badly, but it was, I think it was like $50 and I just couldn't justify it. At Target, I don't know why. I was just like, I know it's a high-end designer, just can't justify it. And I wanted to try it on. I didn't know what size I was. So, but of course the day that everything came out, people, when they do collaborations at Target, people are there like first thing in the morning and they like fucking wipe it out.
Oh.
So I found the dress on Poshmark for $150. Yeah, they had marked it up that much.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So like you, I was going through the whatchamacallit, Wild Fable section looking for dresses that were cute. And then I made it to, and one thing I've been looking for a lot of is the puffy sleeve dresses.
Yes.
Like the baby doll dresses. I've been really into that. Mm-hmm. So I go into the adult section, Rachel, the universal thread where you can buy all your prairie dresses. And I find the perfect, not too prairie, puffy sleeve dress. Snag that shit right off the shelf. I'm like, I need this. Then I go to the clearance section. And what do I fucking find, Rachel? The blue dress that I wanted. And how much is it, Rachel? $35.
Awesome. Oh, that's so nice.
Oh my gosh. I try it on. Fits like a goddamn glove. I am like beyond stoked. And nice. Then I go to the home section. I find a fucking rug for $9.
There you go. That's much better than 30.
I mean, the look.
It was like you manifested it. Like you took it back, but the universe was like, no, you still need this in your life.
I know.
Such a blessing. Then, hashtag blessed.
I know. Then, guys, let me tell you something else. On Monday, I go to Target again. I do it again because I bought sandals that I didn't want. Return another pair of sandals. I tell you, I cannot stop buying shit and returning it. So I bought another pair of sandals and I'm going to return them because I have to go to the dentist. And there's a Target next to my dentist. So I go and return my sandals. I got a few minutes to spare. I check out the universal thread section where I had originally found that green jumpsuit. And what do I find in my size? The green jumpsuit.
Dude.
On sale.
Got it all. It's that universe, baby, kicking it back.
Listen.
Oh, what is, dude, that.
The Target gods.
So nice. Yeah.
Have blessed my life.
I feel so grateful,
so just blessed.
You better thank the Target gods.
I actually on my way to work today, I was just thinking the universe. Actually, no, it's really weird is, okay, like 2 weeks ago at our work, we do this thing where every month they do a drawing and one person out of the department will win $1,000. You get your monthly bonus as an employee, but they want you to incentivize you to actually make your goal. They'll be like, you can be put in this pot for $1,000. Okay. So with my trips coming up, I like really wanted to manifest winning the $1,000.
Yeah,
I put it on my heart. We actually played bingo to win, which like puts it out of their hands, of course. But anyways, I put it on my bingo card. I was like, I'm gonna win. So I didn't win. Let me just start there. Let me just all right, start. Okay, but listen, the universe works in weird ways, okay?
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, baby. Cha-ching.
I love it. I love all of this for you.
I just feel so great. Guys, I mean,
all good things.
By the time this comes out, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Mercury will go back in retrograde.
Who knows? Who even knows anymore?
I know.
But that's all very exciting.
It was thrilling. Truly so thrilling. I'm sorry. I feel like this is a brag sesh. Like I told you.
No, not at all. Like,
yeah, my therapist has not been consistent. So I really haven't been able to tell a lot of people about this stuff.
I'm always going to be happy and excited for you or for other people when good things happen. Like,
it's just awesome. Like, I just feel so grateful. You know, when things happen, you're just like, I don't want to be a dick. And I'm just like, I deserve this. Like, I don't want the universe to be like, she doesn't deserve this. I feel so grateful for everything I have, but I'm so grateful for the things I'm getting.
Dude.
I know.
It's not a brag. It's not a brag. Dude, these are all exciting things.
Like, I know.
You're working, like, no, this is, it's not even like a humble brag. Like, this is just exciting. This is all really happy news of things that have just like continued to happen for you. Like, that's all great stuff.
I know. I'm just so stoked. Stoked on life. Just so stoked, guys.
As you should be.
Yeah. So anywho. That's been my life in a nutshell. That was my Target story, which I still am on cloud nine about. Like, truly, I'm just so excited for that dress. Like, that, it's like I fucking found, like, I don't know. There's people that like go to Nordstrom Rack and they'll find like a really expensive shoe and it comes up for a penny because there's a mistake in the system and they have to honor it. I feel like that. Like, I feel like there was a glitch in the system. Like, I don't know what happened, but I'm so glad.
Dude.
Oh, I think I'm echoing. Am I not?
Yeah, my headphones like disconnected and then reconnected. Oh, shoot. Are they reconnecting? Reconnect. I don't know. That was weird.
Whatever.
Whatever.
It's okay. Figure it out.
It's fine, guys.
It's fine. It's
hopefully it doesn't do it while I'm telling you my story.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Right? Exactly. So, are you ready to jump in?
I'm so ready.
Let's jump in. Okay, here we go. So, as we've talked about many times on our podcast, we love ourselves a dumb criminal. Like,
oh yeah.
We appreciate that they weren't smart enough to outsmart police detectives or a jury of their peers. And while we understand that people can be wrongfully convicted, I do not believe that this story is one of those cases. So let's jump in as I introduce you to April Lott and Justin Barber. April grew up in Oklahoma to a very loving family, but lost her mother when she was 17 to cancer. Her father fell apart after losing his love, and he wasn't able to be a functioning parent to April and her younger siblings. So April kind of had to grow up quickly, and she stepped into the parent role and basically raised her younger brother and sister. She was able to catch a break when she attended the University of Oklahoma and joined the Kappa Delta sorority. April had the perfect outgoing and bubbly personality that fit just right with the other ladies, and she was adored by her new friends and all of her sorority sisters. In 1998, while in college, she met Justin Barber, a guy who was in the university's MBA program, and he was in the top of his class. He seemed like a guy who really had his act together, who knew what he wanted out of life, and was a go-getter, much like herself. 10 months into dating, the two were ready to take their relationship to the next level, and they eloped in the Bahamas, and they had themselves a beautiful and romantic sunset wedding on the beach, just the two of them. They enjoyed their stay in the Bahamas for their honeymoon, and come the next week, it was back to reality as they moved from Oklahoma to Georgia. April decided to bring her younger siblings along to continue to be the one raising them alongside her new groom. It's a lot of change. When you move in with somebody, you have to adapt to those changes. And now she has the changes of living in a completely new state. And now she's still raising some younger kids. So it puts some strain on the newlyweds. So April's younger sister moved back to Oklahoma first, and then her little brother soon followed, and they still had family there, so they still had a loving home to go back to. Okay. April had gone to medical school with her mom, losing her life and her battle to cancer. That pretty much gave her a purpose for what she wanted to do. So she went to medical school and she wanted to work with cancer patients, and she was promoted at her job working in radiology. It was a really big step in her career, and she had Justin's full support. Meanwhile, Justin's job as a business executive transferred him to Jacksonville, Florida, and instead of denying the transfer, he took it. So they continued to stay married, but they lived 3 hours away from each other. They would spend weekends together, and they stayed in their long-distance relationship for over a year. Wow. It is now the summer of 2002. Their wedding anniversary is approaching, and April takes a trip to see Justin in Jacksonville to celebrate. They had dinner, drinks, they went out and played pool, and then to end their night, they decided to visit their favorite secluded beach for a walk. They kick off their shoes, they walk near the water, and they're having a really nice time together until the mood changes. They are attacked by a man hidden he's wearing a baggy shirt and a baseball cap. The couple thinks that this man wants to rob them, and they see a gun in his hand. So Justin, being the protective sort, he lunges at the man and struggles with him to get the gun away from him. And he just remembers hearing shots ring out, and Justin just passes out. He wakes up on the beach to find himself alone. He doesn't see his attacker, and he doesn't see April. Justin screams for her and is thrown into a panic. He finally sees her floating in the ocean face down, and he rushes over to her to bring her to shore. April has been shot in the left cheek, and she is unresponsive. Oh, Justin tries to pick up her body, but his body isn't responding. So he drags her by the waistband of her pants to the boardwalk and tries again to lift her and carry her up the steps, but then he drops her. He just can't do it because he realizes at that moment that he has been shot. Justin decides to leave April at the beach and go find help. He left his cell phone at home, so he can't call 911. So he runs to the road, trying to flag down cars to help him, but no one stops. With no luck, he gets into his car and he drives to find help, but eventually was found slumped behind the wheel of his car. A good Samaritan sees him and calls 911. Justin was airlifted to the hospital and he's able to say that his wife is hurt down at the beach. So paramedics are on their way to find April and the authorities.
How long?
I know. It's just, it's crazy. So he's getting airlifted to the hospital. Paramedics are on their way to find April and authorities have also been notified that they were attacked. So now they're on a hunt for a man down by the beach. When paramedics arrive to find April at the bottom of the boardwalk, they pronounce the young 27-year-old dead at the scene. Detective Cole arrives at the hospital to speak with Justin and deliver the news that April was dead. He asks Justin to give a description of the person who attacked him, and he really couldn't say more than he was taller, heavier, and stronger than him. Justin was shot in the left shoulder, the left side of the neck, the chest, and the left hand. His wounds were non-threatening. And I know it's, I couldn't imagine getting shot four times. His wounds though were non-threatening and he was released from the hospital the next day.
What? Wait, so are they like grazes or actual shots?
They were shots, but they weren't, they may not have gone in as deep. There was no exit wound. It was a 22. So like 22s can like cause a lot of damage, but sometimes they just like the bullet will get lodged and then they can take it out and stitch you up, but like it doesn't have an exit wound.
So he actually did get shot. Like it wasn't like, whew, like he like went, grazed his
skin. Like he like matrixed it and like barely got
actually went. Okay.
He actually got shot. Yeah.
I don't, cause okay. Of course I'm thinking like, suspicious, but like, to shoot yourself four times, like you would think the first one kind of probably hurts, but the second one really hurts.
Yeah.
To do it two more times.
It's just a little, yeah. So, and
okay. I mean, I'm coming in from a suspicion angle.
It's suspicious, for sure.
But I don't know. You know,
so
I don't know.
Okay. Back home, a funeral was held for April, and it was a beautiful tribute to her life. Those who loved her were there to pay their respects, and even though Justin was there, he was vacant, distant, and he wouldn't make eye contact with anyone. He was grieving for his late wife, but he put his grief aside immediately after the funeral when he flew back home to help in the investigation to find out who attacked him in April.
Oh,
he cooperated with Detective Cole, right? And the other officials, but he felt like the police were overlooking certain clues. Witnesses came forward and said that they saw a second car parked on the boardwalk that night, but according to Justin, the police never followed up. Newsflash, Justin, the police officials and the detectives are not going to share every single detail of their investigation with you. It turns out that they did follow up, but there was no license plate number, no clear make or model of the car, and they couldn't even get an agreement on what color the car was. So it turned into a complete dead end.
Yeah.
Justin told police that April didn't always feel safe at her home in Georgia. She owned a taser because someone had broken into her car and later her home. The crimes were looked into, but there was zero connection to the break-ins in Georgia and then April's death in Florida. And then Justin brings up that people were romantically interested in April and those people need to be investigated. But
what?
Why? Why? If there's no threat there, then it's not in the detective's interest to look into men who had a crush on April in the state of Georgia. Like, he sounds like he's looking for something, or like he just, it's like, it sounds jealous, right? Like someone was after her. These men couldn't have her. So something must have happened.
I don't know. It's like it could be seen as like he wants to make sure everything is covered, but at the same time,
too much.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's too involved.
Yes, he's too involved. And we know about those types of people, don't
yes.
we?
Yes.
It turns out Detective Cole is looking at Justin as a primary suspect because mm-hmm. Justin's story just wasn't adding up. Justin was allegedly attacked by a gunman on the beach and he was trying to wrestle the gun away. But when you're that close to somebody wrestling away an item out of somebody's hands, like you think you would get an idea of what they look like. Like you are that close to their face. But he said he couldn't tell what this person looked like. Nothing was actually stolen during this quote unquote robbery either. April still had her diamond ring and Justin still had his wallet and his belongings. Also, when Justin was recounting the story on the beach with Detective Cole, he appeared to be crying, but there were no tears on his face. He just kept rubbing his eyes. It's like, and then we were attacked over here and it was just, you know, it was just so awful. And just kept like rubbing his eyes. And it was like, ugh.
It's like, bitch, you can't make tears appear with rubbing. Interesting.
Yeah, so he just kept making it look like he was distressed, like his grief just completely looks like an act. The night that Justin was trying to flag down cars on the highway should have resulted in 911 calls from the drivers who saw an injured man in the road.
Yeah,
because that's common sense. It's like maybe you don't want to stop and help but I'll at least call somebody who can really help you, because what if it's a trap? Like, you can't trust people. They didn't receive any 911 calls. And then when Justin left to go find help, he drove nearly 10 miles away from the beach. There was a 24-hour Walgreens open. There was a well-lit gas station. There was a couple of restaurants that were still open late. And he passed by even neighborhoods. So if he was trying to get help, How are you going to get help if you don't stop anywhere?
And
the gunshot wounds look suspicious. His wounds, the way that they described it in articles I read, they were up and away from any part that would be like critical. Like they were up and away from any artery. They were up and away from like his heart, his lungs, like his liver. Like
that's so disturbing that he would research that.
And it's only the left side. So it's like, you have to be It was his left hand, his left shoulder.
Come on. But still, like he did that four times. Like,
so that's what they're thinking. Cause that's just like, it just seems a little weird. Because his wounds were not life-threatening, yet April lost her life that night with one single shot. Friends and family of April begin to piece together that April and Justin had some problems while they were together. They realized that appearances mattered most to Justin, that he was very superficial and he was very controlling. For example, he would put on his jeans that he wore in high school, and if they didn't fit, he would fast until they did. Would just like starve himself until he would fit into his high school jeans. And then he put that on April. He gave her a complex about gaining weight, even though she was very petite. She was a very small woman.
Oh my God. I would not want to date any, well, I guess there's big guys in high school, but like most guys are pretty fucking small in high school.
Exactly. It's like, don't you want to get bigger and like stronger and like, I don't know, fill out a little more than your like scrawny little high school self.
Exactly. Like that's such a weird bar. Like we'll just never be the same as high school. Like that's just the way it is. You continue growing.
Exactly. It's like living in the past in a sense by going back to that place. It's just a little weird. And then April confided in her friends that she had a feeling that Justin was being unfaithful while he was away in Jacksonville. She knew that he played tennis with a woman, but he's like, hey, we're friends, nothing more. You don't have to worry about it. But she worried about it. Like, it's just odd when your husband has a girlfriend, a friend that's a girl, and you don't live very close to one another. There's no way for you to like meet her. Like, it just puts that like flag in your head. We're like, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
He also made April feel uncomfortable when he took out life insurance policies for each of them. But it wasn't the life insurance policies that made her uncomfortable. It was the $2 million amount on each policy. Like, that's a lot of freaking money.
That's a lot.
Justin was just, he was putting them deeper and deeper in debt. He had stock market losses. He had other side expenses. And I think he was over like $50,000 in debt, like maybe even more.
Wow.
And so April said, enough is enough. And she was leaving him. So maybe that this anniversary trip when she went down there was going to be like the make it break it in their relationship. Like, we'll see if he can change, if he can do better, I'll stay married to him. But if not, I'm going to move on. Cause yeah. She just doesn't trust Justin anymore.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Detective Cole learns about the woman that Justin plays tennis with, and her name is Shannon Kennedy. And she is brought in for questioning. She's openly honest and said at first they started out as friends. She didn't know he was married, and then it turned sexual. Later she learned he was married, and he told her he loved April, but he can't live with her anymore.
What?
Detective Cole brings up Shannon to Justin, and Justin's like, no, we're just friends. We just play tennis together. But then when Cole says, okay, well, I'm bringing her in to be questioned alongside with you, that's when Justin fesses up about the affair and says, yes, it's more than just friends. Okay. You caught me. Sorry. Yeah.
What a fucking dork.
Months later. That's the
most insulting thing you could call a man.
You big dork. Months later, the investigation continues while Justin decides to move on with his life. He moves to Portland, Oregon, starts a new job. Yeah. Like across country. Starts a new job, meets a new woman named Lisa, who quickly becomes his new girlfriend. But Justin would always wear his wedding band on a necklace. He would constantly bring up that fateful night when he lost his wife, when he spoke to Lisa about how he could never forgive himself for leaving her alone at the beach that night.
What a fucking asshole.
So really quick, if you guys have watched the show Sex and the City, there's like a season 2 episode. I think the episode's called like Four Women and a Funeral. And someone they know dies. They go to the funeral at the cemetery. And then Charlotte is like just walking the grounds and she sees a man like over by a headstone. So she goes and he's like crying. So she goes and approaches him and he's all, it's just my wife. And she was like, I think he like asked her like, are you married? And she's like, no. Are you married? And he's all, I was like, this was my wife. And Charlotte's like, okay. She gets this idea that she can like start dating him and like make him happy again, like bring him back to life. Like he's so, so sensitive because he's lost his wife and I can help him. So she starts sleeping with him because she thinks she's doing him like this amazing favor. But it turns out that this is a line that he uses on women that he meets in the cemetery. So by the end of the episode, he like tells Charlotte, like, I'm going to be at the cemetery at this time. Like it's my wife's anniversary of her death. Like I'll be here. And she's like, okay, I understand. So she goes and like brings flowers. And as soon as she gets out of her car to like bring him flowers, like three other women show up and he like recognizes them and he's all waving hi because that is what he said. Like Charlotte's been bamboozled by this man by using his dead wife as a way to like get women. Like situation reminds me of that. So yeah, if you haven't seen the episode, go watch it because it's funny, but it's also sad, but it's also ridiculous, but it's also funny.
Oh my God, that's so insane.
Back to the story. Yeah. Not only does Justin blame himself, but he blames April's family for speaking to the police about their suspicions of him. But I mean,
what?
If he was manipulative and calculating and then their loved one dies, I would speak up too.
Yeah.
And blaming the victim's family is just like grossly inappropriate.
Completely. But
April's aunt turns out to be a judge in Oklahoma. And she puts the pressure on Florida prosecutors to arrest Justin. The state attorney in Florida, right? This woman is like, get him and get him good.
Oh my goodness.
The state attorney is on the fence in this case because if Justin actually did this, if he is guilty, like would he actually shoot himself 4 times to create an elaborate story to get away with murder? Well, they reviewed the case, and as far as they see it, all signs lead back to Justin being the guilty party in this story. So in July of 2004, Justin is arrested for the murder of April Barber. The trial began in June 2006, and prosecutors, they just hit the ground running. Detective Cole goes on the stand and explains that he did not have tunnel vision when it came to finding April's killer. He took the witness accounts about the parked car seriously, but it was a dead end. He explains how odd it is for a man so desperate for help that he would drive nearly 10 miles and pass by stores and neighborhoods when looking for help. It just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Detective Cole also testifies that Justin was shot in the hand, yet when he used his hands to drag April up the sand by her pants waistband, there was no blood on her. So that seemed a little suspicious. Shannon Kennedy, the Jacksonville side piece, also took the stand and testified that Justin told her that he couldn't live with April anymore, and it sounded like he wasn't interested in being married to her. Prosecutors also hire a computer expert who recovered some very interesting Google searches on Justin's computer. 6 months before the murder, this idiot researched how to shoot himself without hurting or killing himself.
What a
6 months. Idiot. Like, he was planning this. He knew where to shoot, how to shoot, and had the gunshot wounds to prove that he actually carried out what he had learned. So wow. This, I couldn't get the song out of my head for like the rest of the time I was researching this story.
Oh God.
And they're not blaming the band at all, but hours before April's murder, Justin downloaded the Guns N' Roses song, I Used to Love Her. And they played it in court for everyone to hear. And it's a catchy song. It is. But it's literally about killing a woman and burying her body. It's Jeez. I used to love her, but I had to kill her. I had to put her 6 feet under. Like, go what listen the to the song. I mean, if you are already a fan of Guns N' Roses, then you know the song. But that was the only song that he deleted when he turned his computer over to detectives when they were searching for information. That was the only song. It's like, just leave it.
Yeah.
Knows like, just download a bunch of other Guns N' Roses songs.
Yeah, like, like
have that in your like, library. But no, like that's no, the, no.
Like that's the one. Oh my God.
Yeah. A crime scene photo of April's face was used to show that she was shot in the cheek, and the blood flow was flowing in a single direction out of the wound and onto the stand. And that right there was enough to prove that Justin was lying about his story about pulling her out of the water and picking her up and carrying her and dropping her and dragging her and picking her up again and dropping her. Like she was wet from the water, but if he had been picking her up and moving her around, like all these different directions, her blood would have been everywhere. Like it would have been in her hair. It would have been across her face. It would have been on her clothes. Like it would have been everywhere. But when they found her, it was only pulling out of her cheek onto the sand, and it flowed in a single uniform direction when she was found. The defense claims that's circumstantial evidence because the .22 caliber gun that was used to shoot them was never recovered. But I mean, it could have easily been thrown into the ocean. Yeah. But the prosecutors believe Justin wants to look like a hero who tried to save his wife, and he wants the life insurance money, and he wants sympathy. And the jury, they had a lot to think about and deliberate, because if he was found guilty, Justin faced the death penalty.
Wow.
It took 4 days for the jury come to a close in their deliberations. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Justin is found guilty of first degree murder. April's family is relieved, and they're happy that justice for their girl has come to fruition, but then they are immediately heartbroken and saddened for Justin's family. Justin's family is pissed about the verdict, and they cannot fathom how they found him guilty. It turns out it was the blood flow on April's face and the internet search that matched the exact gunshot wounds on Justin that really did it for them.
Yeah.
Justin thought he could outsmart the system, outsmart his peers, and come out clean in the end, but that was not the case for him. The judge overseeing the case sentenced Justin Barber to life in prison with no parole in exchange for the death penalty. Justin's attorneys were hoping to find they were hoping for an appeal, and they were hoping to find other murder suspects as they continued their case, but they've come up empty-handed. Justin was refused a new trial in 2013, and he's expected to live out the rest of his life in prison. And that is the true crime story of April Lott Barber. May she forever rest in peace.
That is just so sad.
It's really, really sad that she gave her life to this man. They did. They were living apart for over a year. Like,
just continue. Like,
and just, yeah.
Or like, just end it. Right? That's a life insurance policy. It's always the life insurance policy.
It's always the life insurance policy. So he had his heart set on that money, and he wanted to look a certain way to people. And he played the sympathy card hard, especially with Lisa. Just lost my poor wife. It's like, you killed her.
Yeah. You
did that. You didn't have to do that, but you did.
That is just.
Was a doozy.
Yeah.
What an idiot. So yeah, we're thankful that they're not that smart.
Yeah, they can delete their Guns N' Roses songs, but they can't delete their Google history.
He did, but it was recovered. Yeah,
of course it was.
The computer expert was like, I got you. Don't worry, I will find.
There is always another way.
But literally, like, he Googled how to shoot yourself without killing yourself or hurting yourself.
I wonder if he like had his phone out like as he was doing it, because I just don't trust myself after a quick reference like online. I don't know that I trust myself after the fact.
No, we're in our 30s and we're still looking at the box with how to make mac and cheese, and we've been making it for like 15 years.
You know, that is true. That is 100%.
I'm telling you.
God, there's so many things I do that with.
Where you already know how to do it, but you're like, let me just double check.
Yeah, you gotta.
But to have the balls to shoot yourself.
Yes.
To make it look like, no, I was attacked.
Wow.
Pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. And I've shot a 22. It's like the easiest gun to shoot.
Oh, okay.
It's like not very loud. The bullets are kind of small. They're damaging. Don't get me wrong. They can kill you and they can hurt you. It's a bullet. But yeah, it's like you start off with 22s when you're doing like target practice type of a thing. They're super easy to shoot. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of power coming from it when you shoot it. It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. What a moron. Yeah. At least he's in jail forever.
Yeah.
So suck on that. Yeah. And with the hand gesture coming in hot.
All right, man,
that's it. It's my story.
That's all we have for you folks.
That's it. We're done. I hope you enjoyed, even though it's sad. Hope you enjoyed.
We hope you enjoyed my Target story.
It was awesome.
My wonderful fruitful things happening. I'm sorry if you're having bad luck out there. Just manifest. Just put out there. I actually really want to do a vision board again, because I feel like they really work.
I think so too.
Yeah. See, I'm gonna work.
You feel it. You feel that want when you see it. And you put that energy out there.
I like it. I want it. I like it. Is that the words?
Nope. Okay. But that's okay. We don't want copyright problems anyway, so it's fine.
Nope.
Sorry. Yep. Nope. That's it.
Nope. Want it? I like it. Okay, guys. I'm getting sleepy. We'll see y'all next week for another horrible story.
Goodbye.